Somebody eat cheese on me. It's all right. Yeah, I like that, Russell. You all right? You know, I never dreamed you were going to jerk it completely out there. He told me about that about a year ago. He said, don't be doing that. I can't hardly see up over, so I just moved to the side. I looked to see, but one night you wasn't here a while back, and I just bent it on over. I appreciate y'all being here tonight, and I trust the message will be a blessing to you. If you would, open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 9. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Very familiar scripture to you. Probably everybody in here could quote this scripture. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. Hebrews 9, 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this to judgment. I want you to notice what it says here. And as it is appointed. It's appointed to us. It's appointed to man once to die. But after this, the judgment. Now, as we think about that, everybody in here in this building that's born again and knows Jesus Christ their Savior, is the bride of Christ, the Ecclesia, called out ones, and we're going to die, but we're going to go to heaven. But we're still appointed to die. So we need to understand it's appointed a man once to die. Other than Jesus coming back and taking us home through the rapture, everybody is saved, he's going to die. Now the ones that he takes home with him when he comes back, they're not going to die. But other than that, we're going to die. So it's appointed a man once to die. Now we think about, I'm not going to preach a whole message on death, but we need to understand that one of these days we're going to die. But the question is, what's going to happen after we die? Now, before I get into that, take your Bible and go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Now, keep in mind that the point of man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Now, there's a difference in the death of a saved person and the death of a lost person. Now, let's look at it. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of in Jerusalem. Now watch what it says. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. We find here that the preacher says that it's vanity. What is vanity? Vanity is emptiness, it's worthlessness, it's waste, and it's vain. There ain't nothing in that word vanity that's a positive. It's all negatives. Vanity. And the preacher here says, it's the words of the preacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. Now, he didn't say most things is vanity. He didn't say a lot of things is vanity. He said all things are vanity. What profit a man of all his labor which he hath taken under the sun? Now let's think about these things, and we're going to look at them here in just a minute. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 17. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now, with these scriptures being read here in Ecclesiastes, and the one over in Hebrews 9:25, that we're going to die one day, I want to preach on this message tonight. Are you living to die or dying to live? So what are you talking about? I know it sounds ridiculous, sounds confusing, but let's think about it. Are you living to die or dying to live? Let's pray. Father, I pray God you'd help me tonight. And Lord, you know I can't do it without you. And I realize, Lord, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I realize, Father, tonight, Lord, that if God applies to anybody, it applies to me. I'm definitely not going to get anything accomplished without you and the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd help me, God, now. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd give me what I need to say, not to be a show. Help, I don't even want the people to see me. I want them to see the Word of God preached, but not me. And Lord, I don't want them to hear what I say, but what thus saith the Lord. And God, I need you, Lord, tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd help me to preach what you'd have me preach, say what you'd have me to say, and nothing more. And I'll thank and praise you for what you do. I pray, God, you'd bless your word, and may this message help somebody. If one person gets anything out of the message, it's going to be worth it. And I pray, God, your will be done. And I thank and praise you for what's accomplished. For asking in Jesus' name, amen. Are you living to die or dying to live? First of all, by way of introduction, we choose what life we want to live. God don't come down here and say, well, now, you're going to live for me or else. And God don't come down here and say, now, you're going to be a wicked man, you're going to die and go to hell, and that's all it is to it. We choose what we want to be. We choose what we're going to do with our lives. They don't nobody twist our arms behind us and tell us we're going to do this and that and the other. We choose what we do in our lives. Well, now, I don't know, said, oh, so-and-so influenced me a couple of times and got me in. No, he might influence you, but you and I chose what we did. We chose the route we took in this life, and nobody made us do it. Well, the devil did. No, the devil didn't make us do it. We did it. So we choose what the life we want to be. Now, first of all, let's take the wicked and unsaved. Let's take their life. Look at them for just a few minutes. We can look at them, and the first thing we want to say is, these are the people that are living to die. They're living a life here. They're breathing. They're living. But they're living in this life, and they're going to die. They know they're going to die. So they're living here, but they're going to die one day. So they're living to die. Now let's see why. Sounds ridiculous, don't it? First of all, have you ever heard anybody say, I'm going to go around once in life, and I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to live my life to complete. I guarantee you everybody in this building tonight has heard somebody or some bodies say, I'm going to live like I want to, and I'm going to do what I want to, and there ain't nobody telling me what I want to do. I'm going to live like I want to. You ever heard that old saying, that old beer commercial used to be, get all the gusto you can? Well, that's what a lot of people today want to do. They're going to get all the gusto in life they can. So they're living to die. They're going to do what they want to in this life. It don't matter who likes it. It don't matter if the Lord likes it. It don't matter if the mom and dad like it. It don't matter if the preacher likes it. It don't matter if the government likes it. There's people in here today in this world that's going to do what they want to do, and they don't care. I've had them tell me more than one time, you have too. I want to go around once in this life, and I'm going to live it up for myself. What are they doing? They're living to die. They're living this life the way they want to, and they don't die one day and go to hell. They don't trust Jesus Christ. And then you all heard them say, I only go around once. I'm going to do all I can, have all the fun I can, do everything I can, and ain't nobody going to tell me what. And then I've heard them say, I'll live like I want to. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. You may have had some of your kids or some of your relatives heard them say, tell their mom and dad, well, you ain't telling me what to do. I'm 16 years old, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to live the way I want to, and I'm going to go where I want to. Yeah, most of the time they regret it if they don't make the right decisions. You know what they're doing? You know what people says that? Well, I'm going to do what I want to do, and ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. They're living to die. They're living what they want to do and what they feel like they want to do and live their life the way they want to, but they're going to die one day. It's appointed a man once to die, but after this to judgment. Yeah, so we've heard that many times also. And then not only that, but we also think about, nobody will tell me what to do, but I'll do what I want to. Now, as we think about what we've just said by way of introduction, Let's look at this thing in another way. Now, they're doing what they want to do, and they're living in sin, and they're going to do what they want. They don't care. They don't obey the laws. They don't obey mom and dad. That's why you got so many of these birds in jail and in prison now, because they didn't listen to nothing. They done what they wanted to do, and they didn't care about what happened to nobody for any reason. We're going to go through quite a few scriptures tonight. If you want to turn to them, that's fine. If you don't, that's up to you. As we think about what we've just looked at, let's look at a few scriptures and see what God says about some of these situations. First of all, to Proverbs 21. You know, Proverbs chapter 21. Like I say, I'm going to be turning to quite a few scriptures tonight. Yeah, Proverbs 21. Yeah. Now, I want you to notice what these says. Proverbs chapter 21, and look at verse number 7. Yeah, Proverbs 21, verse number 7. See what the Lord says about these things. Proverbs 21, verse 7. The thoughts of delight tend to only plenishness, and every one that is hasty only to want. Let me make sure I got the right thing here now. Proverbs 21 and verse number 7. Verse number 8, verse 7. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. They ain't going to do what somebody tells them. They're going to do what they want to do. These are the people that's living to die. They're going to live like they want to and do what they want to because they're going to die one day. But they're living for everything they can get here. The way of a man is froward. That word froward means rebellious, it means perverted, it means wicked, it means ungodly. That is just the opposite of the word forward. Froward. Look it up. I'm studying the Bible. Froward. Everything in it is negative. The way of a man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. So we find here what God says about wickedness. Let's look at another scripture. What about the results of wickedness? And people do what they want to. They can live the way they want to and live in this life and live for this life. Ain't nobody can stop them. God could, but he don't. They got a free will. But let's see what God says about this thing. Look at Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. They can do what they want to. Boy, God's got them. God's going to take care. Isaiah 57, look at verse number 20. Now, they think they're getting away with something, and they think they're having a big time. Isaiah 57, verse 20. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So these people running around here today that think they're doing what they want to, and they may be doing what they want to, they're living to die, living what they get here. God says the wicked are troubled like the sea. And a lot of times, they don't even realize what's happening. The devil loves them to sleep. When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Instead of living like they ought to be, they're casting up mire and dirt with their sinful wife. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. Now, I don't know how in the name of heavens that people can get blown away on dope and alcohol and all that stuff and get up the next morning and they don't even know where they're at and their head's about that big around and say, boy, we had a good time last night. Stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. But that's what they think. They're doing what they want to do. Let's go to Isaiah 48. Back over to Isaiah a few chapters, 48. God tells us about this thing, what they're having. Isaiah 48, and look at verse number 22. Isaiah 48, verse 22. Again, God says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. So not only are these people that are living to die, that's doing what they want to do and living in sin, there ain't no peace to them. They think they're getting some peace. They think they're doing all right, but there's no peace in their life. Why? It's like the murky waters we just read about in the script of Isaiah. Cast up muck and mire. They think they're doing all right. Now, let's look at some causes or some reasons why these people think they're living to die. Take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yeah, now boy, these people think, they really living it up now. They got it made. Why do they do these things? What are the causes and reasons? 1 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's look and see what the reasons are or the causes. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and look at verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times will come. We see here, writer Timothy says, this know also. We know that. K-N-O-W, we know that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now let's look at a few things here. We're talking about they that are living to die. The wicked, they want to do what they want to do and live like they want to in this life, but they're going to die and spend eternity in hell. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Boy, we're there right there today. Covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, thankful and unholy. And man, I could park there for a lot of these, but I'm not going to cover them all. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure. What? Lovers of pleasures? More than lovers of God. That's what we find here. Lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Yeah, you got a lot of people out here, that's what I'm saying, they're living to die, and all they care about is pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. All they care about is what they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it, and why they want to do it. They ain't stopping to think about God or His people or His book or nothing. All they care about is the pleasures of life. Now, not all these pleasures are necessarily wicked. I'm not saying that. But a lot of these, but pleasures. Maybe they'd rather go to the river or something and come to church. Maybe they'd rather go on a vacation and do something for the Lord. Pleasures. And pleasures is killing America. Pleasures is killing this world and it's killing America. And may I say this also. There's a lot of God's people out here wrapped up in pleasures also. Nothing wrong with pleasures. We as saved people go to taking pleasures and putting them ahead of God, we in trouble. Pleasures. All right, let's go on. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And so we find here, as we do these things, looked at pleasures. And then we got a lot of people, and these people that do this, that live like that, they don't want to serve God. They don't want to serve God. Hey, I'm doing what I want to do. I'm going where I want to. I'm having a big time. I got plenty of money. I know what I want to do. I'm going to go out and blow the money. I'm going to have a big time. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. And I ain't got time for God. They're living to die. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. See what Jesus says about it. Yeah, Matthew chapter 6. I think it's pretty important what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say about it. You know, don't want to serve God. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 24. Yeah. This is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can serve two masters. Whether he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So you, hey, that's what he said. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and get out here and stay away from this house and not do His will and not live for Him and not do what's right and live in this world like you want to do and the way you want to do it and be right with God. That's what he said. You can't do both. So these people, they're out here living for themselves. They're living to die. They're making a decision. Jesus said, you can't serve God and me. You can't serve God and me and the devil. You can't serve God and mammon. You got to make a choice. And these people is living to die and made a choice to serve the world. That's what Jesus said. You can't serve them both. Now, you probably know some people right here on the fence. And boy, they'll lean one way, and then they'll lean another way. God don't play that leaning stuff. He knows. So I'm saying tonight, a lot of times that people don't want to serve God. That's why they're living to die. They ain't got no time for God. You probably had people tell you, well, you know, why you go to church all the time? Why you want to go out on visitation? Why you want to read that Bible? You had it told to you many a time probably. Why? They don't care about God. All they care about is their pleasures, and they're living for this life. They're living to die. Look at Psalms 49. Psalms 49. Boy, this book's amazing. Psalms 49. Look at verse number 10. Psalms 49, verse 10. For he seeth that the wise man die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Boy, I tell you what, some of these people's living to die. And hey, don't get me wrong, I'm not down on these people. I don't hate these people. I've got people, I love people. I've got some people I love to death. They're like that. They're living to die. They're living for the world. I want you to notice here what the Bible says here over in Psalms 49, verse number 10. For he saith that the wise man die likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. I don't care how much fun they're having. It don't matter what they're doing. It don't matter what kind of life they've got. It don't matter how high they are on the totem pole. When they die without Jesus Christ, they've lived their life. They've died. They were living to die. And they're going to perish in hell. They're not saved. I'm talking about the wicked. People that are living to die. Now, not all of them are wicked people. Don't get me wrong. Come up here after service. Well, no, I understand that. Not all of them are wicked. But a lot of them are living to die, and that's they're living for themselves. They might not be wicked. All right, let's go on. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse number 15. Look at book chapter Timothy, 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now what did he say here? What did the writer say here? But godliness with contentment is great gain. The people out here are living to die. They don't care about godliness being contentment. They're not studying what God wants or what God thinks or what God wants them to do. All they're caring about is their own selves. What they can get all the gusto you can and live it up. Because one day we're going to be out of here. That's most of them's opinion. For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So now you see what I'm saying, what they're living to die is fruitless. For you brought nothing into this world, and it's certain you can carry nothing out. It don't matter what they do, how big a time they have, how much they've got, how much money they got, how much they can spend, how many places they go, how many friends they got. It all comes to naught and vexation of spirit. Why? They can't take it with them. What good did it do them? They lived to die. They were living to die. You know, not only that, but it also says, and having food and raiment, let us therewith to be content. All right. Now, not only that, but we go over to Luke chapter 12. I told you we'd be turning a lot of scriptures. Luke chapter 12. Here, let's see what Luke chapter 12 has got to say here. Here. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 16. Here, 12 and verse 16. And he, speaking of Jesus, spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He had so much, he didn't even know what to do with it. He had more than he needed, more than he ought to have, and he didn't know what to do with the rest. And that's where we are a lot with these people that are living to die. A lot of them are like that. They've got so much, they don't even know what to do with it. And I'm not down on them, but I'm just saying they're living to die. Getting all they can get here, and then they're going to die. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, well, I got a little bit, but I want a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Hear it all the time. You've heard it and I've heard it. Why? They ain't satisfied. These material things in this life will not satisfy like God will and like Jesus will, and people, that's where they're at today. Verse 19, I will say to my soul. Now I want you to notice, this Bible, he didn't say I'll say to my body. He didn't say I'll say to myself. He said, I will say to my soul. What is the soul? It's the inner being. It's our emotions, the seat of emotions, our soul. He said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I want you to notice what verse 20 said. But God, not another man, not one of the prophets, not one of the disciples, but God said unto him, thou fool. God called him a fool. Thy fool, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? There again, we see, here's somebody got all he wanted. He wasn't happy, wasn't satisfied. He wanted more and more and more. He's living to die. And what good's it all going to do him when if he don't go to heaven? Then another thing that takes a lot of situations up is immorality. Immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All these things that we're looking at today is things that people are harboring up and trying to get all they can get, and they're living to die, to satisfy their selves and their flesh in this life. What about immorality? Yeah, boy, immorality is run plumb crazy in the world, not only in America, but in the world. Immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse number 15. Yeah, know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Question mark. Know ye not that he which is joined to the harlot is one body? Or two, saith he, shall be one flesh? But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man committeth is within the body. He that commits fornication sin against his own body. So, immorality has always been around. Immorality is here in the Word of God in the get-go. But immorality is another reason that a lot of people today are living like they want to. They're living to die. They're going with everything they can get a hold of. They're hanging with everywhere they can go. Wherever there's an immorality, wherever there's a situation that they can commit adultery, immorality, they're there. That's all they live for, and that's all they're after. They're living to die. And that's what I think what God said. He said to members of us, don't make them members to a harlot. Immorality. It's run rapid. Well, now, Brother Melvin, it's always been there. Well, I know it has. And it ain't going to get no better. The Bible says, oh, in Timothy, even seducers are waxed worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They're deceiving other people, and the devil is deceiving them. But no, it ain't going to get no better. It's going to get progressively worse. But immorality. They're living to die. All the immorality they can do, all the adultery they can commit, it don't bother them in one way, shape, or form. They're doing what they want to do. The pleasure of the world, they're living to die. Get all and get down here, everything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, and look at verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. I know you probably, both you men anyway, I don't know about you ladies, but you men, and probably and you young boys in school around all that godliness, I guarantee you you've heard it bragged on more than one time. Fornication, adultery. Man, they brag on it all. Hey, I know, I grew up in Charlotte. I know what it was like. And it ain't no better here. Bragging on it. But you know what? That ain't going to accomplish nothing. For this will not. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. But you know why they don't do it? Because they don't care. They're out to do what they want to do and get what they want to get, and they're living for themselves because they're going to die one day. So they're living to die. And then adultery, and I'm not going to even go to adultery. It falls right into that other immorality and all, but the same thing with adultery. And now, let's look at those that are dying to live. A little bit more positive this time. Those that are dying to live. We look at those that are living to die. They're living. They're breathing just like we are. They're living. But they're living to die. And they know they're going to die one day. And that's all they care about is what they can get here. They ain't worried about eternity. And now let's turn this thing around, flip the coin over. Look at those that are dying to live. Who is that? That's the saved people. That's the born again, the child of God, the ecclesia, the called out ones, the born again crowd. They're the ones that's dying to live. Let's see what we look at here. Hebrews 9:27, again, it's appointed to man once to die, but after this the judgment. Same thing we read at the starting of the message. All right, let's look at a few things here. First of all, go to Hebrews chapter 10. And most of these scriptures we probably quote. The first thing we want to look at is Hebrews chapter 10. And verse number 25. Yeah. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know why? For the most part, people in church, they're dying to live. We know we're going to die, but we're going to live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to die. We're dying in this body every day. Mine's not. I'm getting better looking and all, but my body ain't. But we're dying in this body every day. What y'all laughing at? But we're dying every day. But we're going to live. But you know why? Because we don't forsake our assembly. We go to church. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. We need to exhort each other. Man, I need my brothers and sisters in Christ. You may not know it. And that woman sat over there may not know it. But sometimes I come to church and I ain't too good a mood. I got things on my mind or don't feel good or something, but I get in here around my brother and sister, and before you know it, man, I'm in a good mood. You'll never know when. She don't know half the time. But we need to exhort each other. Why? We're dying to live being in church as you see the day approaching. Now, I will say this. There's a lot of saved people that are living, dying to live, God's children, and they don't have to come to church. I'm not saying this one. I'm saying in general. Lay out of church for any reason, but that's beside the point. But I want us to see what we're dying to live, church attendance. And then another thing is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I love my church. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved to God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, right dividing the word of truth. Now let's break this thing down right here and look at it. I want you to notice the Bible didn't say read. The Bible said study to show thyself approved. Now we can get in this book and read it through in 6 months or 4 months or a year or whatever. But God didn't say that. He said over here in 2 Timothy, study. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't easy to sound for a long period of time and study. But we're dying to live. We're dying every day in this body. We're going to live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ. Study. And to show who? Thy wife? No. A pastor? No. Your brother and sister? No. Study, show thyself approved unto God. That's all that matters, what God sees. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right, dividing the word of truth. So we're dying to live because we should stay in this book. We ought to read that word every day. There ought not be a day in our lives that we don't get in there. Well, now I got a busy schedule. I can't do it every day. Bible says, study, show thyself approved. And I'm going to tell you what. It don't take but one time, one day, to not get in that book. And if we ain't careful, we won't be in it for 3 weeks. Why? This nasty stuff right here we live in, this flesh. That's why. We need to get in this book every day and read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. I say we. I'm talking about me too. And so we're dying to live. And we need to get in the Bible. Then another thing that's really important also, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Familiar scriptures. Here, look at verse number 17. And the Bible says, pray periodically. No. Pray when you got a problem. I was on. Y'all looking mighty strange. Okay, let me read that again. Pray when you feel like it. No. You say in your head, no. Bible says, pray without ceasing. Well, now, I don't know about that. You can't walk around here all the time. People think you're crazy. That ain't what that means. We ought to have a prayer in our hearts and in our hearts all day long. We don't have to walk around doing this. Many of times you can pray from your heart. And matter of fact, if you get right down to it, when we pray, it ought to come from our hearts. If it don't come from our hearts, it's going to fall on deaf ears. Prayer needs to come from the heart. So pray without ceasing. You know what we're doing? We're dying to live. Our body's dying, and what we do for the Lord is going to live for eternity. Prayer. Look at Luke chapter 6. Let's get a good example here about prayer. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse number 12. Luke 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he, who? Jesus, went into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. I'm going to tell you something. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a praying man. He was a praying man. Many a time in that book right there, he prayed all night. He got away from everybody and away from everything, and he went up to a high mountain, he went up some, and he prayed all night long. Boy, you know what that do? That'd change somebody's life if they get into a good prayer life. That's what we do. That's what saved people do. We're dying in our body, but when we pray, we're living for eternity to the Lord. We're dying to live. And this is just part of it, prayer. We need to have a prayer life every day. There ought not be a day go by. We don't have time and we get in a prayer closet somewhere and spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ and pray. I ain't talking about 4 days out of five. I ain't talking about 6 days out of seven. I'm talking about every single day. Now, I know. Sometimes the schedules get busy. You may have to go to bed at night, 12, 1 o'clock at night. You had a busy day and a long day, and you ain't got time to get down in front of your couch or wherever and kneel and pray. He didn't say you had to kneel. There's plenty of positions in the Bible where they prayed. Hold hands held, a lot of different ways. Before we lay our heads down on our pillows at night and go to bed, we ought at least pray in our hearts to the Lord. Prayer. Paul's a praying man. I don't have time to turn all of these scriptures. We'd be here at 1 o'clock in the morning. but y'all be getting up, leaving. But Paul was a praying man. And I'm going to tell you something. The Apostle Paul was a praying man. You can read all through the Word of God there, the life of Paul, and he was a praying man. Every time you turn around, he was praying to pray. He prayed all the time. Why did he do that? Because he loved the Lord. It was needful, and he was dying to live. He was dying in his body, but he was going to live in eternity. We need to have a prayer life. Not only that, but we find Peter was a praying man too over in Acts 3:1. Cornelius was a praying man over in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Let's turn over to that. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Don't read that. Acts chapter 10. Yeah. Well, you got a lot of praying men in this Bible, some praying women too, for that matter. Acts chapter 10. And look at verse number 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, I'm going to tell you something, son. There's a man of God right there. Let's look at that. He was a devout man. He was one that feared God. He didn't only fear God, but his whole house feared God. Why? Because he did. And he led them that way. And he was a devout man. Which gave much alms to the people. He was a giving man. He didn't say he gave a few or much or a bunch or a lot. He said much alms. To who? The people. And prayed to God always. Boy, I guarantee you, I bet every time old Cornelius stuck his head out the door, somebody, Cornelius, how about praying for me? Cornelius, go out to get his mail. Go out to the mailbox, get his mail. Cornelius, will you pray for me in my house? Why? He was a praying man. Things we need in our lives. We're dying to live. We're dying in this body, but we're going to live forever. These are the things we need to be doing. I don't have time to cover all these, but Elijah. Praying man. Boy, you've got to have some power of God in you to pray fire down. You've got to have it. God ain't going to just send fire down for anybody to say, well, now lay me. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't being critical. Now lay me down to sleep, blah, blah. Amen. Boy, Elijah had God's power on him. He had to call fire down. Elisha. Axe head swim. Boy, look down there. Where fell it? Elijah made the axe head swim. God's power. He was a praying man. Moses was a praying man. Moses prayed all the time. He had to, that crowd. They had to be Baptists. And I know the Bible says they were Jews. They had to be Baptists. All he'd done was gripe and complain and run to Moses about problems. If they wasn't Baptists, boy, they had to be close to him. But he was a praying man. Now, hey, he might have had to be a praying man to lead that crowd of Jews. Either that or go nuts, one. But God was with him. Moses was a praying man. Not only that, but we find, let's go to Acts chapter 6. This is good, too. We're already in Acts. Acts chapter 6. Look at verse number 4. Let's look at let's start at verse number 2. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. These are first deacons. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this house, over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Well, I'm going to tell you what, son, them was some praying deacons right there. If there had been some deacons, I'd want praying for me. I'd have got this crowd right here. He said, but we would give ourselves continually to prayer and minister the word. Boy, they were praying men. They prayed all the time and had God's power on them because they were living to die. They were dying here and they were dying to live over there on the other side. And then not only that, what about faithfulness? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. What about faithfulness? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Boy, that's faithfulness. A lot of people need, we need that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse number 1. Yeah. Let a man so account of us as of the mysteries of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required. It ain't an option. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. He didn't say here it's an option. He didn't say if you want to be faithful. He didn't say, well, you try to be faithful. He said, moreover, it is required that a man be found faithful. That's what he said. We need to be good stewards of what God's given us. We need to be good stewards of what He's given us in our church. We need to be good stewards of what He's given us in our home. We need to be still good stewards of what He's given us, eternal life, whatever He's given us, whatever He's called us to do. We need to be good stewards. We need to be in church when the doors are open. We need to read our Bibles every day. We need to go to God every day in prayer. We need to give to the Lord's work. And I mean give faithfully. We need to do these things. Hey, we need to be faithful. He said it's required. He didn't say, well, if you can do it. It is required that a man be found faithful. And then not only that, but here's one. What about our testimony? What about our testimony? Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. What about our testimony? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5. By faith, Enoch was translated, he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, here's a man that pleased God so much, he just took him on out of here. What about our testimony? How do saved people perceive us? And that word testimony means what people perceive in us. What people see in us. What do they see in us? Our testimony ain't for us. Our testimony represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know and I understand and I realize you've got people out there, you could be Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they still have something to say. That's humans, that's flesh. I'm talking about our testimony in our hearts. What about it? He had a testimony. He had a testimony beyond any. Yeah. So our testimony, we ought to have a testimony the best we possibly can for the Lord Jesus, and not for the preacher, not for us, not for the deacons, not for anybody else, but for God. That's what our testimony ought to be for. The Lord. So we ought to have a testimony. And now this, the last thing I want to get to. Let's look at the results of those lost, of those that are living to die. They're living, getting everything out of this life they can get, and everything they can take, and everything they can do. It don't matter if it's one godly or weak. They're getting everything they can get out of this life, and they're going to die and spend eternity in hell. Let's look at some of the results of that. And I'm not going to turn to all these scriptures because I've got too many of them. First of all, we see a shortened life. Let's turn to this in Proverbs 10:27. Proverbs chapter 10. I'm going to read this one. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. How many times have you known people or some of these big movie stars that God cut them off? Man, He cut them down just like that. So a lot of these people, now I'm talking about now the people that are living to die, They're living for themselves in this life, and they're going to die anyway. So they're getting everything they can out of this life. Why did it say God said He's shortening their life? And there's a lot of people going out of here prematurely for that very reason. Shortened life. And then not only that, but eternal destruction. And I don't have time to turn these scriptures. Eternal destruction in a place called hell. It's eternal and it's destruction. And then not only that, but let's look at the saved. Saved, those are dying to live. We're dying in this body. We're going to live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look and see what the difference is from them and what it is for us. First of all, we've got eternal life. The Bible says, I will give you eternal life and you shall never perish. Hey, we got eternal life. You may not like it, and you may not want to be there, but you got to put up with me for eternity. Yeah. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there for eternity just like you are. Eternal life. And then not only that, we got mansions waiting on us. Oh, yeah, we may have given up some things here that we wanted, and we're dying to live. Oh, look like we got now. We got mansions up there. And I'm just hitting a few things quickly. And man, I can't wait to see what mine and Breeby's mansion is going to look like. I bet it'd be nice as y'all's. Point Breeby. We got mansions. And then we also got an inheritance eternal. In other words, everything that the Lord Jesus Christ owns, it's going to be ours. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. What's His is ours. Hallelujah! That excites me. So, eternal inheritance. And then all that, I bet everyone in here shout about this. We're going to have a new body. Praise God. We're going to have a new body. There will be no more headaches. There will be no more backaches. There will be no more cancer. There will be no more heart attacks. There will be no more knee replacements. There will be no more hip replacements. There will be no more anything. There will be no heart surgeries. There will be no heart catheterization. Praise God. We won't have none of that. We'll have a perfect body. Perfect body. Why? Because we will have a glorified body like the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no more heart attacks and all that mess. There'll be no more of this stuff. A new body. And you know that we'll have. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. I got to read this. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm almost through. Philippians chapter 3. I got to read this one. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse number 21. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, and according to the working whereby he is able to even subdue all things unto himself. We're going to get a new body. We ain't going to have to call no doctors. We ain't going to have no needles stuck in our arms. We ain't going to have none of that. Praise God, a new body. Glorified body. And then, I'm going to close with this. I said at the start of it, people have a choice. They choose what they want to do. The first thing we want to look at, and I'll close with these two statements. Let's look at those that choose to live and die. Let's look at those, and we'll look at those to die and live first, and look at those that were living to die. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6, those that are dying to live. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is going to sum it all up tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 6. These are people that are living to die. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 7. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. All these people that I said were living to die, they're living for themselves in this life, and they're going to die. They can't take it with them, what all they did. all they acquired, everything they got, everything they enjoyed, everything they had, it's gone. It's gone. They ain't taking nothing with them. Not one thing. It was all in vain. And then now let's look at the flip side of the coin. What about those that we fit in the category that we were dying to live? Look at Philippians chapter 1, and I'm through. Yeah, Philippians chapter 1. And this pretty well sums it all up. Philippians chapter 1. And look at verse number 21. Yeah, Paul said, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That sums up everything we've talked about in both these areas tonight. Yeah, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. What? Hey, we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're dying here in our bodies. When we live for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to live in eternity with Him. And to die is gain. Boy, if God took me out of here tonight or tomorrow, hey, I'm gone. I'm in heaven. You too. And I doubt very seriously if anybody in here tonight that could honestly say, I ain't ready to get out of this smudge pot down here. I'm ready to go home. But for us, we're dying to live. Why? Because everything is going to be perfect up there. Let's stand and bow for prayer, please.